welcome everybody to 2CR Radio. Today, it is our pleasure to welcome Julian Lisa, who's the federal member for Barawa and also the Shadow Minister for Indigenous Australians and the Shadow Minister for Education.
2CR 澳洲中文广播电台，好高兴今日我哋能够邀请到 Barawa 选区嘅联邦议员 Julian Lisa， 同时亦都系原住民事务影子部长以及教育事务影子部长。你好啊 ，Lisa 部长。
It's wonderful to be with you here, Charlotte. Thanks for having me at 2CR.
是啊，非常高兴能够来到这里啊 ，Charlotte。感谢你们邀请我来到你们的访问当中。
Of course. So first off, congratulations again on your new portfolios. How do you balance the two significant responsibilities of being Minister, Shadow Minister for Indigenous Australians and also for Education? And what are your immediate priorities in each role?
咁首先，上在次恭喜你获得新嘅影子内阁职务。作为原住民事务影子部长，同时亦都兼任教育影子事务部长，你系点样平衡呢两个重要角色嘅呢？而喺两个范畴当中，你而家首要嘅工作重点又系啲咩呢？
Well, I'm excited about both portfolios, and they're both areas of deep interest, and they're both areas where it's about building the future of Australia. So in education, we've had a situation over the last few years where we've put record funds into education, and yet the results and standards of our school students have been seriously declining. And that's got to be the focus, the rigorous focus of what I'm going to bring to the education portfolio, a focus on ensuring that we've got the curriculum right, that people learn knowledge and facts in the curriculum, the so-called knowledge-rich curriculum, to ensure that we lift the standard in order that Australians are competitive in global testing. This is a great country. We want to ensure that our country is at the top of the world when we're performing in our global testing. In Indigenous affairs, Indigenous Australians, as we know, in so many of the relevant social indicators don't share in the wealth and good fortune of our country. But there's a real opportunity coming down the line here. There's Indigenous title over something like 43% of the Australian land mass. There's an opportunity, if we get this right, to create transformational, multi-generational economic opportunities for Indigenous people and turbocharge not only the lives of Indigenous Australians, but the broader Australian economy. And I'm keen to explore how we can create better economic opportunities for Indigenous people. Some of that starts with ensuring the kids go to school, the parents get jobs, but it's that transformational economic opportunity from the Indigenous title that I think is really where I'm going to be focusing my efforts.
我对这两个新的职位都感到非常之振奋，因为他们都是我长期关注的领域，也都是直接关系到澳洲的未来。在教育方面，过去几年政府投入了历来最高的教育经费，但学生的学习成果和标准却明显下滑。这个正是我未来工作的核心重点，就是确保课程设计正确，令到学生真正地学到知识和事实，也都是所谓的知识导向课程，从而提升澳洲学生在国际评比的竞争。澳洲是一个伟大的国家，我们希望在全球教育评比当中确保澳洲始终名列前茅。至于原住民事务，我们都知道在许多重要的社会指标当中，澳洲原住民并未能够享受这个国家的繁荣和成果，但未来其实存在一个非常重要的机遇。目前原住民土地权涵盖了大约43%的澳洲 国土面积，如果我们能够妥善处理，这个将为原住民社群带来具转型性和跨世代的经济机会，不单止能够改善原住民的生活，也都能够推动澳洲经济的发展。这个其中当然包括确保小朋友能够上学，家长能够就业，但我真正关注的是如何透过原住民土地权创造长远而有具转变性的经济机会给他们。
That's really good to hear. Over the past few months, aside from what you've just told us, what else have you been focusing on most, both in Parliament and within your electorate as well?
这个听起来十分令人鼓舞。除了提先所提到的工作重点之外，在过去几个月你在议会当中和你所属的 Barawa 选区，你还特别关注什么的议题呢？
Well, within my electorate, there's three things I've been focusing on. At the last election, I took on Epping, which is a terrific area. Lots of apartment growth there, and it's an area in transition. But and it's got great train services there, great schools. The metro's been transformative, but what it lacks is parking. And so people can't go to Coles, they can't go to the doctor, they can't take the kids to tutoring, they can't go to the restaurants because there's just nowhere to park. And the state government's got these silly policies where they say, oh yes, build an apartment building, but you don't need to provide car parking for everyone. So there's people who are living in apartments trying to find places to park. There are people trying to visit finding places to park. I've started a petition to encourage more people to sign up to lend their voice to getting better parking in Epping. The second thing, and people who live particularly in Cherrybrook and West Pennant Hills will understand the truth of this, New Line Road is a road that is a real bottleneck in our community. My in-laws bought in Cherrybrook in the early 1980s. They were promised that New Line Road would be widened back then. It's nearly 50 years ago, and it's still not widened. And in that time, we've had expanding suburbs. So I am igniting a plan to widen New Line Road. I got money when we were in government to plan for the widening. The Perrottet government put down $70 million to commence the widening, but the Minns government has put the project on ice. It's time we brought New Line Road widening to the front of the queue. The third local issue for me has been, as I've become the Shadow Education Minister in recent months, and just as a local member, I've noticed that we have more and more families who want to put their children in selective schools. And that's a great thing. I think it's wonderful to see people aspiring to academic excellence. But increasingly, as I'm at the train stations and talking to families, people are going a long way out of area for a selective school option. There are children travelling from my electorate to Gosford High School. There are children travelling from my electorate to Sydney Boys and Sydney Girls right across town. Now, nothing wrong with those things, but I wonder whether we need another selective high school closer to home. And that's the thing that I'll be talking about lots locally. In terms of issues in the education portfolio, I've been particularly focused on the rising costs that people are facing in education. So we recently had the inflation figures, and inflation across the board had gone up 3.8% across the year. In education, it's gone up 5.6%. In childcare, 11.2%. It now costs $36,000 to put a child through childcare on average. That's before the subsidies. $36,000 sounds like the sort of money parents need to pay if they want to send their child to a famous private school. These costs have gone up and up under the Labor government because they've got the spending out of control and because the regulation has got out of control. We need to create more productivity in our country. We create more productivity by cutting regulation, by getting people educated. But again, in the education system, the government is falling 15,000 people short of the number of people they were expecting to enter the higher education market. So they're failing their own targets. And I've been holding the government to account for the rising costs of living, particularly the rising costs in education, and the declining productivity. They've got a new bureaucracy they want to smother the universities with, a $54 million bureaucracy. Now, no one who works in the university sector believes the sector is under-regulated, and everybody could tell you better things that they could do with $54 million than duplicating a bureaucracy that already exists. So these have been the things that we've been focused on, as well as holding the government to account for the failure to turn all the extra money they're pumping into the system into better performance of Australian students at literacy, numeracy and other international testing.
在我的选区当中，我主要聚焦在三个方面。在上一次选举之后，我接受了 Epping 地区，这个是一个正在转型的社区，有大量的公寓发展、铁路服务完善、学校优质、地铁系统更是带来翻天覆地的变化，但唯一不足的就是泊车位严重不足，居民没办法方便地去超级市场看医生、送小朋友去补习社，甚至外出用餐，因为根本找不到停车位。就政府推行了一个不合理的政策，就是允许兴建公寓时候不必要配备足够的停车位。因此我已经发起请愿，呼吁一些居民一同发声，争取改善 Epping 的停车问题。而第二个重点是特别住在 Cherrybrook 和 West Pennant Hills 的居民亦都深有体会的，就是 New Line Road。 这条道路是社区里面一条非常严重的交通瓶颈位。我的外父外母在1980年代初在 Cherrybrook 买房，当时政府已经承诺会扩阔 New Line Road， 距离至今已经50年，但仍未实现。在这段期间，周边社区不断扩展，我在执政期间争取到规划经费， 前任政府亦都拨款了7,000,000澳元准备开展扩宽工程。然而现在的新州工党政府却将该项目搁置。我认为现在是时候令到 New Line Road 的扩宽工程重新排回优先的处理次序。而第三个地方议题是同教育有关。我注意到越来越多家庭希望小朋友入读精英中学。我认为这件是一个很正面的事情。但是不少家庭需要小朋友长途跋涉，有学生从我的选区前往 Gosford High School， 甚至横跨整个悉尼去到 Sydney Boys 或者 Sydney Girls 就读。这个本身是没有问题的，但我认为这个也是值得思考的问题，是否应该更加接近社区的地方增设一所精英中学。而在教育事务方面，我特别关注的是家庭在教育方面所面对的持续上升成本。整体通胀率为 3.8%， 但我们的教育成本上升了 5.6%， 而托儿服务的费用更是上升了 11.2%。目前平均而言，一个小朋友每年的托儿费用高达36,000澳元，而且这个还未计算到政府的补贴。在工党政府的执政下，由于政府开支和监管失控，这些成本持续上升。目前澳洲需要整体的生产力提升，而方法之一就是减少过度监管，同时保证人民能够接受良好的教育。然而在高等教育体系当中，实际入学的人数比政府原先预期少了约15,000人，政府未能够达成自身定下的目标。而我一直就生活成本上升，特别是教育成本以及生产力下降的问题要求政府负责。政府计划设立一个耗资5,400,000澳元的新官僚机构来监管大学，但大学界内几乎没有人认为现行的制度监管不足，所有人都能够想到比起繁复的设立官僚架构，还有更加值得投放以5,400,000澳元的用途的。
Of course, segueing on from that, particularly in the education sector, international students have been facing uncertainty following the government's announcement of caps and tighter restrictions on overseas student enrollments. What is your perspective on these policies?
咁延续呢个话题，政府其实宣布咗对国际学生人数嘅限制，并收紧相关政策之后，许多国际学生感到前景不明朗。你又系如何睇待呢啲政策嘅咧？
Well, international education is our fourth largest export industry in Australia, and international students make a very important contribution to learning here. But in order to be successful, we've got to ensure that they're getting the product right. So firstly, we've got to make sure that we've got the numbers right. Secondly, we need to make sure that they're getting a good experience when they come here. And thirdly, we've got to ensure that the quality remains high. And I am concerned that on all three of those things, the government has got it wrong.
And why exactly is that?
Well, you only need to look at some institutions where the classes are basically 80% international students. They're not getting a domestic experience here of coming to Australia. That the quality of their experience is not particularly good because institutions are not providing adequate housing for international students. And you hear repeated stories of couch surfing. If international education is going to be a benefit to Australia, people have to have a good experience here. And if they're not getting a good experience, their impression of Australia when they go home will be much more negative. To my mind, we need to make sure that our education offerings are competitive with overseas education offerings, and the experience of students is such that students want to choose to come to Australia first and foremost. We want the best and brightest here, and we can best do that by ensuring quality, numbers and experience are properly focused.
国际教育是澳洲第四大出口的产业，而国际学生对于澳洲的学习环境作出了非常重要的贡献。但若要成功，我们必须将三件事做好，就是人数的规模、学生体验以及教育质素。而我担心的是，政府在这三方面都出现了判断错误。你至少要看看某些院校班级里面几乎有 80% 的学生都是国际学生，他们并未真正体验到澳洲本地学习环境。由于院校未能够提供足够的住宿配套，他们的整体体验并不理想。我们都不断听到国际学生需要借宿梳化的情况。如果国际教育要真正为澳洲带来益处，学生在澳洲的整体体验必须是正面的，否则他们回到自己国家的时候，对澳洲的印象将会变得相当负面。我们必须确保澳洲的教育具备国际竞争力，令到学生在众多选择当中优先选择来澳洲留学。我们希望吸引到最优秀、最有潜质的学生，而这个必须同时重视教育素质、招生规模以及学生的体验。
Perfect. Moving on, given the current geopolitical tension around the world, there is also growing concern about how overseas conflicts can affect social cohesion in Australia. How important do you think it is to ensure that these tensions do not spill over domestically? And what role should the government play in preventing hate, violence and radicalisation so that tragedies like the Bondi attack can be prevented in the future?
在当前的全球地缘政治紧张的局势之下，社会越来越关注海外冲突是否会影响到澳洲国内的社会凝聚力。你认为防止紧张情绪在国内蔓延有几重要呢？政府又在预防仇恨、暴力和激进方面扮演着什么角色？
Well, for the last 2.5 years, I've been calling for the government to take stronger action to actually enforce the law. What we've seen on our streets in the last few years has been the government failing to take proper action to ensure that people can't go on the streets and say, gas the Jews, where's the Jews, call the murder of people a day of celebration, call for the violent murder of their fellow citizens by shouting things like globalise the Intifada and river to the sea. When institutions and leaders in institutions, whether it's universities, the Human Rights Commission, or the police and governments generally fail to address violence early, then people just think, oh, I can just keep pushing the envelope. And what we've seen over the last 2.5 years since the October 7 terrorist attacks in Israel and the protests that we've seen here and the violence against the Jewish community, which is spreading to violence against other communities, including the Chinese community, is a failure to enforce the law. When you enforce the law, when you do it rigorously, when you set the boundaries and make them a hard boundary, then people realise that there's no further room to move. And what we saw in the last couple of weeks with the protests that took place in the centre of Sydney, the very violent protests that took place in the centre of Sydney, was yet again the Palestine Action Group, the radical left-wing protesters that are behind that group, they felt that the law didn't apply to them. They were given permission to protest in Hyde Park, but instead of protesting in Hyde Park, they decided to have a demonstration against the lawful instructions of the police, upheld by the courts in a challenge that they had made. They decided to have a protest in the middle of the city, and they decided to make it a violent protest. There's no space for that in Australia. There's no space for violence on our streets. One of the great, great things about this country, one of the things that's made it such a success, is that people have left the tension from overseas at home. And I think that's been very bad that we've seen that in recent times. We also know that the hate that starts with Jews, and a lot of this hatred that ultimately ended in Bondi was directed at Jews. It never ends with Jews. When there is racism directed against one community, the racism rises more broadly in our community. And I think it's very, very important in terms of maintaining our social cohesion that the law apply equally to everyone and that it be rigorously enforced.
在过去的两年半，我一直呼吁政府必须更加严格地执行法律。我们在街头看到的是政府未能够及足介入，导致有人公然地鼓吹暴力，罄竹虐杀，并误以为可以不断试探法律的底线。当大学、人权组织和警方以及政府未能够及时采取行动的时候，部分人会认为法律对他们来说并不适用。自10月7号恐怖袭击以来，我们看到的是针对犹太社群甚至扩散至其他社群包括华人社群的暴力行为，这个反映了执法上的失败，唯有严格的执法，清楚地划定不可越界的界线，人民才会明白没有任何的模糊空间。在过去几个星期，我们看到悉尼市中心发生极为暴力的示威行动，巴勒斯坦行动组织显然认为法律并不适用在他们身上。警方原本批准他们在 High Park 集会，但他们却选择无视警方的合法指示，转而在市中心进行示威，而且他们刻意将示威演变成暴力行动。这种行为在澳洲是绝对没有容身之地的。澳洲其中一个重要的优势一直以来就是人们能够将海外的冲突留在海外，而近期发生的事件已经对国内的社会凝聚力造成严重的伤害。针对犹太人的仇恨从来不会只是单停在犹太人身上，当仇恨针对某一个族群的时候，往往会扩散到其他的族群。正因如此，法律必须要一视同仁，并且得到严格的执行，一点是至关重要的。
On that, how do you balance the right of freedom of speech and multiculturalism with preventing such violence in Australia?
咁你又系如何保障言论自由以及多元文化嘅同时，防止呢类型嘅暴力行为发生咧？
Well, I would absolutely defend people's right to protest, to change the foreign policy of the government of the day. They're welcome to do that. The place where they make foreign policy is Parliament House in Canberra. It's not the middle of the streets of Sydney. People can go there. The other thing I would say is I address a whole range of different communities who want to change the foreign policy of Australia, whether it's the Iranian community that wants us to take a stronger stance internationally against a terrorist regime that attacked our own country, whether it's the Kurds who want Australians to take stronger stands against ISIS and the countries where the Kurds are trying to exist and are fighting for the same values that Australians hold, whether it's the Armenians who want people to recognise the genocide and what's been happening in Artsakh, whether it's the Ukrainians who want Australia to step up. All those people have demonstrations and have occasions where people come together to talk about these issues and encourage change. But none of them, I repeat, none of them engage in the violence of the Palestine Action Group. And I think people have the right to protest, but they do not have the right to engage in violent protest, and they do not have the right to call for the death of their fellow citizens. That's what makes the Palestine Action Group particularly odious, and what makes the protests that they've engaged in particularly harmful to our social cohesion.
我完全支持民众以和平的方式示威，并就政府的外交政策表达意见。但制定外交的地方是肯培拉国会大厦，而不是悉尼的街头。许多的社群，包括伊朗人、库尔德人、阿美尼亚人、乌克兰人，都是会以和平的方法表达诉求，没有任何人诉斥暴力。我认为人们有示威的权利，但是没有权利进行暴力示威，更没有权利呼吁杀害其他的公民。这个正是巴勒斯坦行动组织行为对于国内社会凝聚力造成严重的破坏原因。
Thank you for sharing that. We're going to move now on to questions about the party itself. So recent changes have been made within the Liberal Party, and Angus Taylor has recently been elected as leader. What are your thoughts on this leadership change, and what does this signal about the party's direction in the future?
感謝你的分享。接下來，我們將話題轉向政黨本身。我們知道自由黨近期出現了一些變化。Angus Taylor 最近亦都新当选为自由党联邦党魁，你认为如何睇待一次的领导层变动呢？这个对自由党未来的发展方向释放了什么的信号？
Well, Angus Taylor comes to our party's leadership as a very experienced person who's been a minister in recent Liberal governments. He also comes with a wide background in business. He was a Rhodes Scholar. He's been a management consultant. He understands what it takes to get the economy moving. And that's why the focus of his first week of leadership, and this is the 1 week anniversary of his leadership where we're talking today, has been on growing the economy. And what do we need to grow the economy? We need to cut government spending. We need to cut taxes. We need to cut regulation. We need to get the economy moving again, because the government has poured 5,000 pages of regulation on us. We've seen interest rates go up. We've seen energy go up. We've seen the cost of living go up. And all of this makes it harder and harder for Australians to get by. It makes it harder and harder for people to start a business and succeed. So this has been his focus. His other area of focus has been on migration and social cohesion. And he's made it very clear, and I want to make it very clear, that if you come to this country and you want to have a go at your fellow citizens on the basis of their race or religion, there's no place for you here. That's the message from Angus Taylor. That's the message from me too.
Angus Taylor 是一位经验十分丰富的人士带领我们的政党。他曾在近届的自由党政府中担任部长，亦有广泛的商业背景，是罗德学者，曾任管理顾问，清楚了解如何推动经济发展。因此在他上任的第一个星期，亦都是我们今天对话时刚刚好满一个星期，他的工作重点一直放在如何推动经济增长。咁要令到经济成长，我哋需要做啲乜嘢呢？我哋需要削减政府开支、减税、减少繁琐嘅监管，令到经济重新运转起嚟。因为现任政府已经向社会增加咗多达5000页嘅监管规定，我哋睇到利率上升、能源价格上升、生活成本不断上涨，而一切都令到澳洲人越嚟越难以应付日常生活，亦都令到创业同成功变得更加困难。呢个正系佢目前主要嘅关注方面。 咁另一个重要嘅关注范畴系移民政策同社会凝聚力。佢已经非常清楚咁表明立场，我亦都同样要明确指出，如果你嚟到呢个国家，却基于种族或者宗教去攻击其他公民，咁呢度冇你嘅位置。呢个就系 Angus Taylor 嘅信息，亦都系我嘅立场。
Similar to that, how do you view the rise of the One Nation Party? And given the concerns that the Chinese Australian community have, how does the Liberal Party seek to engage and respond to these changes?
接下来讲到相关的问题，你如何看待一国党的崛起呢？同时鉴于华裔社区的担忧，自由党将会如何同社区互动，亦都怎样同一国党互动呢？
Well, look, I think the first thing to say is that Pauline Hanson said lots of nasty things about me because of my support for multiculturalism over the years. So I'm not going to be giving Pauline Hanson any special treatment. We have to engage with her in the parliament like anyone else. The main focus that we have as the Liberal Party, though, is to ensure that we are actually providing an offering for Australians so they choose us first and foremost. And that's why Angus particularly wants us to focus on growing the economy, on getting things moving again, on reducing red tape, and creating a more socially cohesive Australia. That's in everyone's interest.
我认为首先要讲的是，因为我多年来一直支持多元文化， Pauline Hanson 曾经对我发表过许多带有攻击性的言论，因此我不会给她任何特殊的对待。在国会当中，我们会好像对待其他议员一样跟她互动。但自由党的核心重点是确保我们能够提出一套真正符合澳洲人需要的政策方案，令到他们将自由党作为首要的选择。正因如此， Angus 特别希望我们专注于推动经济成长，重启发展动能，减少繁琐的行政规管，亦都建立一个更具社会凝聚力的澳洲，这个符合所有人的共同利益。
More broadly, how else do you feel the Liberal Party can rebuild that trust and strengthen engagement with suburban and multicultural communities, including areas like Epping within your electorate?
从更加广泛的角度来看，你认为自由党还可以如何重建同华人社区的信任，包括你的选区好像 Epping 这样的地区呢？
Well, multicultural communities, particularly the Chinese community, it's part of us, and we're part of the Chinese community too. I think firstly, it's about having a policy suite that sings to people. And lots of Chinese Australians that I talk to in the community talk to me about the rising cost of living. There's lots of Chinese business people in my community who talk to me about the importance of being able to start a business, about the regulation and red tape that's grown just to open a business, to maintain a business, to employ people. We want to encourage that, and not just for the Chinese Australians, but for all Australians, particularly in outer suburban communities. And we want to create a cohesive society. So I'm very excited in my own community that we're having the very first ever Chinese New Year celebrations in Epping this weekend. It's being run by Parramatta Council. I want to give a shout out to my friend Srini Pillamari, who's on Parramatta Council, who's been a real advocate for this to happen in Epping. I think it's long overdue given the size of the community. So I think it's all about making sure we've got the right policies and making sure that we are talking to people and giving them opportunities to input into our work. It's why I've been door knocking in Epping. It's why I've been doing lots of street stalls and really ensuring that we're getting our message out there.
多元文化社群，特别是华人社区本身是属于我们的一部分，而我们亦都同样属于华人社区。我认为首先是要提出一套能够真正引起共鸣的政策。我去跟许多的华裔澳洲人交流的时候，他们经常提到生活成本上升的问题。社区中亦都有不少的华人企业家向我反映，创业、经营生意和聘请员工的时候，面对的监管和繁文缛节越来越多。我们希望鼓励创业精神，这个不单是为了华裔澳洲人，也是为了所有澳洲人，特别是我们的郊区社区。同时我们希望建立一个更加具凝聚力的社区。我本人也很高兴在我们的社区 Epping 今个周末将会首次举办华人农历新年的庆祝活动，活动由 Parramatta 市议会主办。我想特别感谢我的朋友市议员 Srini Pillamari， 他一直大力推动在 Epping 举办一项活动，考虑到社区的规模，这种庆祝活动其实早就应该出现。因此我认为关键是在于制定正确的政策，同时持续跟社区对话，令到民众有机会参与我们的工作。这个也是为什么我会亲自上门拜访，设立街头摊位，确保我们的信息能够真正地传达出去。
Finally, before we wrap up, as we are currently celebrating Lunar New Year, is there a message or blessing you would like to share with our audience?
最后，在访问结束之前，即使农历新年的期间，你有没有祝福的说话想送给我们的听众呢？
Well, let me say to everyone in the Chinese Australian community, Kong Hi Fa Chai, I hope that this year of the horse is one of prosperity, of peace, of plenty, and good fortune for everyone. Thank you. And it's an honour to have a friendship with the Chinese community that goes back a long way before my time as a parliamentarian. And it's such an honour to represent wonderful Chinese Australians in the Australian Parliament.
我想向所有华裔澳洲社区的朋友讲声恭喜发财，祝愿马年为大家带来昌盛繁荣、和平、富足和好运。感谢大家能够同华人社区建立深厚的友谊，是我从政之前就已经很珍惜的事情，而能够在澳洲国会代表优秀的华裔澳洲人，更是我莫大的荣幸。
Thank you so much for your time today. That ends our interview here.
非常感谢你今天抽空接受我们的访问，我们今次的访问时间差不多，多谢你。
Thanks Charlotte.